Please join with me in a word of prayer. Father, we come to you this day and we give you thanks for your presence here, a presence that drives out all fear. Now, Lord, strengthen us as we examine the things that cause us to worry and be concerned, the things that cause fear in our lives, and help us to understand the peace that you provide that dispels that fear. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we think about fear, and it's obviously what we're going to be talking about today, fear is something that we all struggle with in one way or another. It's something that can grip us maybe just a little bit, or it can grip us in some pretty strong ways. I still haven't been able to conquer my fear of karaoke, but that's something that, given enough practice, I probably could if I wanted to work at it. There are certain fears that we can conquer. There are other fears that they're deeper, that take us further, and it's harder to control those other fears. When I was at the seminary, a first-year seminary, and keep in mind, I'm moving from a smallish town in Nebraska, going to St. Louis. My first year there, my wife and I had rented an apartment. It was a small apartment, one bedroom, and it was not in the best part of St. Louis. It wasn't certainly in the worst either, but we were living there, and in the spring, my nephew and niece had come to visit. They were on spring break, and they stayed with us for that week. And one of those nights, it was a weird thing. One of those nights, something happened. My nephew and niece, they slept in our living room since it was one bedroom. That was the only place they could sleep. One on the couch, one on the floor. And in the middle of the night, my wife woke me up and said, "Someone's trying to break in." And sure enough, I heard the door, the front door, and making just a lot of sound that wasn't someone knocking. It was someone trying to open the door. That's kind of a scary proposition, especially, once again, for this Nebraska kid, not knowing what I'm going to find when I run into the other room. And not being armed, I didn't even have my tennis racket. I just had these arms right here, and that's not going to do a lot. When I entered that room, I didn't find an intruder. What I found was my nephew yanking on the door, trying to get the door open. So I said, "DJ, what are you doing?" And he turned around, and he looked at me with glazed over eyes. He was half asleep. And he says, "I have to go to the bathroom." "Oh, well, come this way. Come over here. I'll show you where the bathroom is. Even though you've been here for 3 days now, you should know. But, yeah, let me share this with you." Another time in St. Louis, it was a middle-of-the-night phone call. And those are the phone calls, I think, that we know usually don't have good news. The phone calls that we dread hearing. And this was a time where we didn't have cell phones, so it wasn't as if the phone was right beside me. The phone rang and rang, woke me up. I had to go into the kitchen to answer the phone. When I answered the phone, there was an automated voice saying, "You have a collect call from," and then the caller spoke their name. Now, for you younger kids here, if you don't know what a collect call is, ask your parents. They'll tell you later. But for that moment, I was still half asleep. I couldn't figure out what name they said. And then the automated voice came back and said, "You accept the charges." At that point, it's either yes or no. I can't say, "Tell me again who it is." So I finally accepted the charges. And again, not knowing what kind of news I'm going to hear. And the person on the other end of the phone asked for, I forget, Steve or Mike or fill in the blank. It wasn't me. It was a wrong number. I told him he had the wrong number, and I don't know if he ever reached the person he was trying to reach that night. But both of those experiences are experiences that initially would cause fear. And even though they were false alarms, there were real fears that we experience in our daily living as well. Times where something happens and we're filled with fear and we're not sure how to respond in those moments. It could be that middle of the night phone call. It could be news that you don't want to hear. It could be the news from a doctor sharing with you news that you don't want to hear. It could be a lot of different things. And when we hear that, when we experience that, whatever the issue is, we're filled with fear. We're filled with questions. wonders. What are we going to do next? How are we going to address this? How do we move forward with this news, with this information? Sometimes we're filled with disbelief. But in all of this, there remains a certain amount of fear as well. And the fear that's debilitating, the fear that's that kind of fear that prevents us or separates us from recognizing God's presence, recognizing that God is with us and that he gives us his peace. That's the kind of fear that we're addressing today, and that fear that we want to find a way to expel from our lives, to get rid of completely from our lives. So we look at the scriptures. There are many passages that talk about God's peace. We see it in the Old Testament. We see it in the New Testament. We see a lot about God's peace, but then we live in this world that's filled with turmoil. And it's hard to experience that peace from time to time. And there are times in our lives where, because of the experiences we've had, we forget those promises. We forget that God is with us. Being filled with fear, well, that peace is naturally absent. As we look at the scriptures, we see again and again God's promises. As we look at our reading today, we see that promise from Jesus himself talking to his disciples in John chapter 14. And Jesus is telling his disciples about his journey moving forward, about what's going to happen. His disciples still don't get it. They're still not recognizing that Jesus' days are numbered here on this earth. Jesus tells his disciples early in John 14 that he's going to his Father's house and prepare a room for them. There are many rooms in his Father's house. We're familiar with that passage. And Jesus also says, when I'm done, I'll come back and take you to be with me where I am. He offers peace in this reading today. Verses 26 and 27, we see these words once again. When the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is, the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you. I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. We hear these words and we say, well, that's good to know. But we don't always remember these words, do we? It's because the world is active against us. Satan is active against us. He tries to take away that peace that God provides. And he does it in ways that we don't want to experience. He knows what our fears are. He knows what those deepest fears are. And he preys upon those fears. Notice Jesus doesn't promise that he's going to remove the trials. We talk about this over and over. As Christians, things aren't automatically better. We still have trials that we face. We still have troubles and challenges that are in the world around us that affect us personally. And Jesus doesn't say those will disappear. What he does say is, I will give you peace to deal with those moments. A peace the world cannot give, and a peace the world cannot overcome. If the world can't overcome it, then why is it missing so much of the time in our lives? We need to remember, the world can't overcome it, but we can let it go. We can let the things of this world cloud our minds, cloud our eyes from seeing this peace that God provides, that Jesus promises his disciples. We continue to use as our source material, if you will, this book called Simplify, written by Bill Hybels of Willow Creek Church in the Chicago area. And he shares with us in this book some strategies that will help us better understand God's peace and better understand or better accept God's peace as well and find that as more foundational in our lives. So much of the time, when those negative things happen, we're not focused on God's promises, on his encouragements, on the presence of our Lord and the peace that he provides in those moments. We're focused on the tragedy, the event, the bad news, whatever it is that is happening in that moment. And when we're focused on that, then we miss out on everything else. So I want to share with you some of those steps and understand that I'm not trying to be Tony Robbins, the self-help guy, but it's going to sound that way at least a little bit in some respects. One of the first things that Bill Hybels encourages in his book is that we make sure that we're having positive self-talk, that we're reminding ourselves of the strengths that God has given us. Because so much of the time when we're experiencing that fear, we're doubting ourselves as well. We're doubting the gifts that God has given us. We're doubting the abilities that God has filled us with, the way that we might move forward and challenge those moments of bad news that we're experiencing, the fear that comes into our lives. When that fear is present, knowing what God has done for us, how he has gifted us, that enables us to address that fear in some greater ways. Another thing, though, that Bill Hybels talks about is making sure that you're remembering God's promises. How do we remember God's promises? Find ourselves in the Scripture, spending time in God's Word, hearing those promises again and again. And we know that God promises his presence. We see it over and over. And if he promised his presence in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, then he promises his presence for us today as well. Wanted to share a couple of those promises with you as we continue to experience God's presence. We know David, King David, he was a man after God's own heart, but we also know that his life was at times a mess, that he experienced all kinds of trials as well, all kinds of troubles. And we know, as we look at the Psalms, that there are times where David feels completely alone, where he feels abandoned, forgotten by God. But we also see in the Psalms where David makes sure to share with us God's presence and God's peace. And so we hear these words in Psalm 34, verse 4. David writes, I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. This is God doing what God is supposed to do, if you will. God being God, God holding up his end of the bargain. If we, as his followers, are seeking strength from God, he provides it. So much of the time, I tell people, especially as they're going through grief, that on this timeline, wherever things are on this timeline, I suppose I should go this way for you. This is that time, that moment where someone has passed away and you feel like your world is crumbling. At some point, you're going to be down here on your timeline, and you don't know how you got there except that God was with you and brought you to that point. That's what God does. Sometimes he carries us. Sometimes he gets us to that point without our realizing. But I'm here to tell you, that's God continuing to strengthen you and bless you with his presence, bringing you to that point, even if we don't always recognize that that's going on. Now remember, when Moses was leading the Israelites toward the promised land, there came a moment where God said to Moses, this is how far you're going. You're not going any farther. You're not entering the promised land. That job was left to Joshua. It's a tough act for Joshua to follow. Following Moses, who led the people out of Israel, well, it was actually God who had done that. But Moses was the visible manifestation of that. Moses was the one that they had seen and followed for 40 years. And now Joshua is the one who will usher them into the promised land. And Joshua needs some encouragement. In Joshua 1, verse 9, we hear these words, this is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. God promises his presence. It's important that we recognize these promises. And when we're going through a difficult time, knowing those promises will help us in those difficult times. One encouragement that I would share with you today is maybe when you get home, if you haven't done something like this already, I'm going to encourage you to do so. Get a post-it note or a note card or something and write some of these promises of God on that postcard so that you have it ready and available to consult in the moment of trial, in the moment where fear might be creeping in. You can look at those passages and be reminded of God's presence, reminded of God's peace that surpasses this world. And in that moment, No matter what fears you're experiencing, you can remember, you are God's. And he has promised his presence to be with you in that moment. Jesus, in our reading from John 16 today, tells us once again that we will face these troubles in our lives. He says, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. We know that. We celebrate that. We give thanks to God for Jesus overcoming this world. There are a lot of things that we might fear. One of the greatest things, I think, greatest in terms of magnitude, that we might fear is death, right? But there may be other things that we fear more than death, especially us as Christians, but for the world at large, death is a pretty big deal. It's a pretty final thing for so many. Jesus tells us, I have overcome even death so that you might have peace. We look at the disciples and we see lives that have been changed. We see lives before Jesus' crucifixion. We see the fear very evident in these disciples. We see them running at the Garden of Gethsemane. We see them abandoning Jesus, not present at the cross except for John. We see the disciples hiding after his crucifixion behind locked doors. They're filled with fear. But what happens? How does this song change when Jesus appears to them alive? They get it now. They understand. Jesus has conquered death. Jesus has conquered the grave. Now, moving forward, what else is there for us to fear? Bad things are going to happen, and they did for the disciples. 11 of the 12 were martyred. But they weren't afraid. They had the peace of Christ. God's peace was resting on them. They knew that the moment they died, that's a door for them into eternity with Jesus, with all the saints. What's so scary about that? It's easy to talk about that. It's easy to put it in those words. When we're faced with it, it can be pretty challenging. But when we are, remember God's promises. And not just when we're faced with death, but when we're faced with anything that we might be fearing. Remember God's promises. Look at your note card. Find comfort in his words, in his presence, in the peace that he provides. There's really nothing for us to fear. We will. But when we do, remember God's promises. Find strength in those, because he is with you. And he will be with you always. Amen. We pray. Father, we give you thanks again for these promises and for the encouragement that you provide to us in these promises. We know, Lord, that we are never alone. You are always with us. You fill us with hope. You fill us with peace. We thank you, Jesus, that you have conquered this world and that you have prepared a place for us in your Father's house. And so now, strengthen us in our daily living, in our earthly walk, that whatever fears we might have would begin to fade away. Fears of things that might be happening to us, fears of sharing your word with others. Fill us instead with encouragement and confidence, knowing that we are yours. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.